Yesterday, we saw two sources of sangat, causes of problems in our life. And he begins with the primal cause of all problem, which is called as avidya, ignorance. Specifically, ignorance of myself as that Brahman. I think I am body, mind, intellect. I am blinded from that reality. And that darkness, that blindness, then leads to everything else that comes as a result. The example we saw yesterday was that level, that chalk line. You start wrong, just by a little bit. Further and further down you go, it just keeps increasing. It doesn't self-correct. We have to see and we have to correct. So in the same way, when we start from avidya, this mula avidya, this root ajnanam, then thereafter, how can we expect everything to go right? Very naturally, things will go wrong. Then we saw what happens as a result of that. See, what is this avidya? I am this mind. I am my thoughts. I am my ideas. This ahankara is born. How is it born? We'll see very briefly. The antakarana is an inner instrument, right? How is it formed? It's just a little bit loose, that's why it'll just, From the elements, the subtle elements, space, air, fire, water, and earth, these elements, the sattvic aspect of these five elements come together and form what is called as the antakarana. A little bit of Vedanta. Some of us are familiar, some of us might be somewhat familiar, some of us new. I think most of us familiar, actually. The sattvic elements of the five elements together combine to give us, to give this antakarana. And what is an antakarana? Really what it is a reflective surface. And what does it reflect? It reflects consciousness. Consciousness is the light, and this is a surface that is, because it is made from sattvic elements, it has the capacity to reflect. Just like a mirror, with the right elements, with the right methodology and procedure, then it becomes a reflective surface. So in the very same way, as elements coming together creates this antakarana. Antakarana has four functions. One antakarana, four functions. And what is the primary thing that happens when consciousness hits that antakarana? Now, something that is otherwise inert or has the feeling of consciousness. I am a conscious being. And how does this express itself? As an I thought, aham. The aham vritti is born. Thereafter, every other thought manifests. Now we said antakarana. Karana means instruments. Every instrument has a function that it serves and a medium through which it does its work. So the medium through which this subtle instrument called as antakarana does its work is called as a thought. That's all that it does. It thinks. All day it sits and thinks. Today we will see also. Now this I thought is born. Aham vritti. I am. Now I am. And so this is just what is called as ahankara. One function of antakarana. Then, antakarana we said also has other functions. What are the other three? It has to acquire information. When we acquire information, then it feeds our thoughts. Isn't it so? We cannot think if I have no information to feed that thought. So through sense organs, information is acquired. And in the mind, what is called as the manas, that sensory information is acquired. And what formulates from that is all emotions and doubts, misconceptions, whatever, all such feelings, all such thoughts. What we call as feelings is actually just a thought. This is called as manas. Then buddhi. Sometimes we are very decisive. Today I will get up and run for 5 kilometers. Well, we are in the US, 2 miles. I will do a 5 miles today. I'll walk for 30 minutes today. I'll make 10,000 steps. And at the end of the day, when you check, your phone tells you, did you even get up for the day? Your phone is bullying you and telling you all day, maybe you should walk. Maybe you should move. No decisiveness. But when I decide and I do it, this is called as buddhi. Intellect is operating in a very firm manner, decisive manner. And then whatever interactions I have, whatever thoughts I have, all of this is stored in our memory called as chitta. So antakarana. So this aham vritti now has other thoughts to play with called as idam vrittis. Aham vritti is one, idam vrittis are countless. And from this aham vritti and this idam vritti, then that feeling of the notion of aham karta asmi, I am the doer. Now comes trouble, because where there is doership, there is action. Where there is action, there is phalam. So the next cause of sankat is called as karma prarabdha. I don't like it, especially when it's not desirable, especially when it's not something that is comfortable to me. So situation happens and it gives me some discomfort and I am very upset. I don't want to face it. So Griva saw this situation with Vali and he was not happy with it. So much so that he could not see how this prarabdha, this one is prarabdha, Vali's kicking him out in Sugriva's own prarabdha coming right back to him. And secondly, beyond that, he could not see that there is a divine will shaping all of this, working through everything. Had that not happened, he would not have had the opportunity to meet Sri Rama, to meet Lakshmana, to give Hanumanji also this job, this work. And then Sri Rama would not have killed Vali. And Sugriva would not have regained his kingdom. And so, like that, one domino falls, but because we are fixed only on this one falling, we cannot see everything else that is happening because of it as well. The world is like that. There's no such thing as good without the bad, or even bad without the good. And a really mature seeker, the maturest of the seeker, does not even see bad. The more mature I am as a seeker, there is no bad actually. It is good, but some good, let me tell you. I don't know how many of you know this. Actually, there's this medicine called as, what was the name? I forget the name of it now. But this kind of cure-all medicine, you know? We used to take, it's a British thing. So, I forget the name. Anyway, my mother will call me tonight and tell me, and tomorrow I'll tell you. The tagline for the medicine was, they'll say its name, it tastes bad, because it really used to taste terrible, but it works. Because some medicine is like that. Nobody wants to take it because it tastes really bad, but it actually works. Karela tastes bad, but it's very good for you. Yes or no? Some people juice it and drink it because it helps with their diabetes. It tastes really terrible, bitter like nothing, but very good. So the really wise and mature seeker, for them, there is no such thing as a bad situation. That is the point. The situation actually may, to somebody else, may seem bad, but to them, it is an opportunity for their own growth and evolution. Oh, Bhagwan has simply given me, you know. Bhagwan gives gifts all of the time. This is how they view it. So now, let us see what new sankats, what other sankats are there for us to study a little bit. Verse number 3. Angad ke sanga ina gaisiya ojal kapisaya baina ucharo nabat. saw this aham vritti, this ahankara, how it manifests due to ajnana. It manifests by identification with the antakarana. Now here is the problem. When the antakarana on its own cannot do anything, so it needs a body. So then from attachment to I, we add on attachment to body. So in this third verse, the sangat, the cause for trouble, is called as deha abhiman, deha abhimana. That is the, we'll just see the verse meaning briefly. Angake sangalena gaye siya khoja kapisa yaha baina ucharo. Sugriva, by this point, Hanuman, Sri Ramanji has come. He needs help finding Sita. And of course, in the previous verse, he kills Vali and all of that. So it's done. Now, Sugriva knows he has a debt to pay. Of course, before this story, you know, after getting kingdom returned to him, he goes and he settles himself back, and he forgets also. He forget, Bhagwan had to come and remind him. Remember, I killed your brother for you? And you said you would help me find Sita? Bhagwan has to come and remind him. Why? Comforts of kingdom. So, finally, now Rama has lit a fire under the Sugriva. So Sugriva tells the other monkeys, you need to find her, and if you don't, I will kill you myself. Jeevat na bachihau hum so jul bina sudilaye iha pagudhara. You come back here without her, I will kill you myself. Now these four monkeys are in a terrible situation. If they go there and they chance meeting Ravana, he will surely kill them. If they don't find Sita, now if they go there, Ravan kills them, definitely they're not coming back with Sitaji. But if somehow they manage to come back and they don't have her, Sugriva will kill them. So what to do? They all went searching everywhere. They knew she was not. Isn't it so? Because Jatayu said he took her salt. They knew, everybody knew where she went. But where did all of these other kapis go? Everywhere else where she was not. Why? They were afraid for their own lives. They were scared. Then, tab, laesya sudhi prana ubaro. Hanumanji alone was the one who went and found Sita Devi and brought back news of her life and saved them. Now, when I have this feeling, this strong attachment to myself, my idea of me, 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 mama, 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 aham, 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 this I thought is existing in the mind, but it requires a body to act. And when it gets the body now, the sense of I is plus this. I've added on to my mind, my thoughts, my sense of self. Now I have a body to function with, and so it expands. My sense of I expands to incorporate the body as well. This is why Puja Gurudev puts BMI together for this reason. Because the I thought is there, but the I thought, the mind, subtle as it is, requires a gross instrument to function. Software cannot function without the hardware. The software has all of the intelligence in it, but without the hardware, might as well not have it. But the minute it is in the hardware, and the two things combine, now you have a full functioning thing, piece of equipment. BMI, body, mind, intellect, always grouped together. So Gurudev links them together. Yes, the antakarana resides in the mind, but he does not limit himself to the mind. He is a greedy fellow. He wants all of this. Which is why the attachment to this body is just as strong as my attachment to my sense of self, identity, life. Because now I have tied my life itself to this body. So any threat to this body is a problem. Any threat to this body becomes a source of grief. This is why the most as human beings, we have allowed ourselves to become so caught up in that, that we all become ridiculous because we ridiculously grieve death. Is it a fact or is it not? Why is it ridiculous? I will tell you. You know also. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityuhu. It is inevitable. Has anyone here amongst us met someone who has not died? And furthermore, the grief of death, and I hope no one here is immediately experiencing that, this conversation can only be had in satsang in this manner. Why? When I'm grieving, when I'm mourning the passing of someone, I am actually not mourning that person. I am only grieving for myself. I will share a very personal story with you. Why personal story? Because I have the authority to share my own stories. I can't share other people's stories. In our ashram in Trinidad, we had a very well-known sevak. He was a Purohit, Pandit Desasa, and very well established. He was an engineer by profession and became a great sevak in the mission. Sevak not just in terms of his professional services, but also in terms of conducting pujas and all of that. And I got very close to him, firstly because his wife was actually my high school principal, number one. But secondly, he was very knowledgeable. So from him, I started to learn about pujas. A lot of what I know about pujas, I've learned from him, the way I do pujas and everything. And secondly, I also learned a lot of secular knowledge. I learned to do plumbing, I learned to do electrical work, I learned to drive a tractor, I learned to do some simple, I learned about level lines and all of these things. From him only, I've learned. And I was very close to him, so much so that before going to the ashram, he was the one who gave me mantra diksha. He died during COVID. He was very ill and he passed away during COVID. And when I tell you I grieved, I cried. And thank God we were still wearing masks, because it was not a pretty cry. It was a very ugly cry, snot running down, tears running down. Very real. I cried. Because I was very sad. And after a while, I had to think about that. This is after Vedanta course and everything. And I was like, I've studied Vedanta course and, you know, you are not the body, you are not the mind, ma shuchaha, do not grieve, all of these things we have heard. Now here I am crying like this. Furthermore, I know if Pandaji was here, he would be the first one to tell me, Kleba Masma Gama Partha, why are you falling down in your grief? What has happened? He would have been the first to tell me. Even Swamiji didn't say anything to me. I understood I was not grieving for him. At the time of his death, he would have been close to 80. He would have done all that he had to do in life. Brahmacharya, Grihastha, and he lived the ashrama life, because at Vanaprastha, he came to the ashram. It was the last Vedanta course that they allowed grihasthas to do the Vedanta course. He attended the full Vedanta course and lived as a Vanaprastha in the ashram, serving the ashram fully. Even when he was sick, he was in the ashram. So now, is that not a complete life? Is it not a life that is meant, lived the way we are meant to live our lives? Is it not so? So what is there to mourn there? His professional life was accomplished. He was also a Purohit. He had taught many people, many to this day. Some of you may know him. If you listen to Swamiji Prakashanandaji's talks, especially before COVID, you'll hear a very distinctive laugh, booming laugh. That was him. He had a look like Ashok uncle also, white beard and always dressed in white. His life was complete. Therefore, I had no reason to mourn him. What was I grieving? My loss. I felt a loss. That loss was what I was grieving. And so I thought about that. A couple of years later, when my own father passed away, that knowledge had truly sunk in. Now, this is not to brag about myself. I'm just simply sharing my own experiences. So that people always say, but how can we do this? How can I? I'm telling you from my own experience so that we can see how. When my own father passed away, yes, I mourned. Mourned. I still miss him. But I did not grieve. I was not sad and inconsolable. We stood there and we did all that we had to do. And there was a sense of absolute peace and happiness. Because again, I know my father had not only had he lived his life to the fullest. Grandfather retired from work, everything done. But I also knew I had done for my father all that I could have done. I served as a child ought to serve. So neither from my end nor his end was there any regrets. So peacefully we could let him go. And peacefully he went also. This is how knowledge is meant to be imbibed. When I grieve, the grief that I'm experiencing is for this body, because any person's death is another reminder to myself of my own mortality. It reminds me of that. And it also is a reminder that I have lost something that I am very, that is dear to me. Now, what is the connecting factor? What is the thing that is the thing that is running throughout me? This is Deha Abhimana. And everything else that we do is connected to that. Strong feeling for me only. And this is why all of the kapis, they didn't want to do their work. This is why Arjuna also did not want to do his work. This is why when Bhagwan gives that Vishwarupa Darshan, he gives that very clear vision for all of these jivas entering into the cosmic mouth and being consumed. Because this body that you are so attached to, it is not permanent. And he also sees how all young, new bodies are coming out on the other side. Because this is the nature of samsara. It is why when Vali dies and Tara is crying her eyes out, bawling her eyes out, falling to the floor, Bhagwan says, Tara, if you are crying, he is right there. The body is there. Take it. Hold it. And she doesn't do. None of us will do that. Because we know, intrinsically we all know, this body is not real. Some way or the other, by fire or by nature, this body will be decomposed. So to what are we holding on to? To what have we become so attached to? From that jnanam that starts with, I have not understood my true nature. Now see how the human being has fallen. See how the human being has fallen. This minus of the body has to be eliminated. Very famous verses there. If I am to identify with the body, how should I identify with the body? A very famous verse is there. I'm sure many of us have heard it before. Deha buddhyatu dasosmi dasoham. If I must identify with the body, let me identify with this body as an instrument of the Lord. If I must hold on to the body, let me hold on to it as Bhagwan's instrument. To serve the Lord, to do the Lord's work, to serve society, to serve others. If I must have that, let it be for this purpose. If I hold on to the sense of individuality, jiva buddhya, then twad amshaka. It is because I am only a part of you, Bhagwan. I am a part of you. If I have to hold on to jiva twam individuality, let that be the thought. Otherwise, atma buddhya twam eva aham. You and I are one only. There is no separation. And in Brahman, where is their death? Where is their loss? Where is their grief? What is there to grieve over if there is Brahman is one and eternal, beginningless and endless. There is nothing to grieve over. But if I am holding on to the limited, then hold on to it with this thought. This body is an instrument of Bhagwan. It's Krishna's flute. Rama's das. In Viveka Chudamani, Shishankaracharyaji writes a beautiful shloka. He tells there, Deha bhimani galite vignyate paramatmanam yatra yatra manu yati tatra tatra samadayaha. Deha abhimane galite vignyate paramatmanam. For one whose identification with the body and mind intellect has been dissolved, yatra yatra manoyati, that mind can go wherever. Wherever it goes, tatra tatra samadayaha. It never leaves samadhi. This is the result. This is what happens. And this is why Hanumanji, when even him at first forgets, he forgets his ability. Of course, we know the story, he's cursed. But the minute jnanam comes, the minute knowledge dawns, tatkal, immediately he gets up and he goes. He performs Ramkaj. Ramkaj karibeko atur. That atur word is a very nice word. Aturata. It means not just with speed. We can do things very fast. You have children, you know. Do the dishes, okay. 2 minutes, done. But when you go to inspect, clean your room, pick up all your clothes, okay, 1 minute, done. When you go, open the closet. We can work with speed, but we can have to work efficiently. It should be done in an efficient and effective way so that it does not need to be done again. What sense does it make doing something and doing it quickly if I have to come back or somebody else now has to come back and do it again after me? This is aturata. Ram kaj karibe ko atur. Anyway, this is not Hanuman Chalisa Yajna, this is Hanuman Ashtakam. All right, deha abhimana. Now, next sankat. That was 3. Let us see. 4. Ready? Ravana trasa. Same Hanumana Mahaprabhu Jaye Maharajani Charamaro Chahata Siya Shoka Soagi. Ravana trasa de siya ko sab. Ravana terrorized Sita and Rakshasi so kahi soka nivaro. He set upon her all of these various demons to break her resolve. Why? Because she was there in this Ashok Vatika and she would only look at her feet. She would not look up or straight, just down at her feet. She would not eat also. Her body had become very thin, maga, skinny. Bones, skin and bones. Her hair also, once luscious locks, had gotten very thin and was falling down. She was Gollum before Tolkien wrote Lord of the Rings, those of you who know. So he set all of these demons to break that resolve. Tahi samay Hanumana Mahaprabhu Jaye Maharajani Chada Maro. Hanumanji comes there and he sees all of these demons harassing her, troubling her, trying to get her to look up, speak. Why? Because Ravana wants to marry her. But even amongst thieves, there is some, you know, there's some honor amongst thieves also. So even Ravana, because he still has a lineage of a Brahmana, you know? So even though he kidnapped her, he won't force her to marry him. He still needs her consent. So honor amongst thieves is, yeah. So Hanumanji sees this and Chahatasi Ashoka Agi. So they Prabhu Mudrika Soka Nivaro. And just as Sitaji is ready to fall in her grief, and just as she's ready to give up life, by that moment she was thinking, if there was fire, I could burn myself alive. But not even fire will come. Hanumanji appears, Pavanaputra. She was praying for fire, and Agni comes. Pavanaputra. Pavana is air. And from the elements, space, air, fire. So she got what she prayed for. We always get what we pray for. We just never understand or recognize sometimes because it might not come in the way we expect it or want it. But Bhagwan's nature is to give. So he will give. She prayed for fire and he came. Not to burn her away, but to relieve her of her suffering. Because fire burns, but fire also purifies. And so he gives her this ring of Bhagwan and Soka Nivaro. Her sorrow goes away. What is Sita Devi experiencing? What is she feeling? Prior to Hanumanji, what is her feeling? Sorrow. And why is she feeling sorrow? Because of Ravana? She's hijacked? Absence of Sri Rama? Sorry? She wants to? Oh, yeah. Ravana wants to marry Sita. So she's feeling sorrow because of that. These are all ancillary. The root cause of her sorrow is what? Her own choices. She's only there in Ashok Vatika because of her own decisions. Yes or no? She saw the deer. The eyes were Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsaha. Sangasteshu Pajayate. Sounds familiar. You see the object. Desire and attachment arises in the heart. And thereafter, what in Amrita Bindu Upanishad, Manohi Dvividam Proktam, Shuddham Cha Shuddham Eva Cha, Ashuddham Kama Sankalpam. Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsaha Sangasteshu Pajayate, right then itself, Kama Sankalpam. I took a resolve. What is the resolve? I must get this deer. I must get this object. Why? Already attachment has been formed. Then what did she do? She sent away Rama. Then she yelled at Lakshmana. In Valmiki Ramayana, you should see how she speaks to Lakshmana also. She accuses Lakshmana of wanting to take her for himself, even. When this Ravana comes in disguise as a Brahmana, her mind, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsaha Sangasteshu Pajayate, Sangat Sanjayate, Kamaha Kamat Krodho Vijayate, Krodhat Sambhavati Moha, Moha. She cannot see straight, she cannot think straight. Clearly in front of her, she cannot understand what is happening. When we are caught up in like that with karma, we cannot put one and one together. We cannot connect the dots. We think, oh, this is just a coincidence. And we don't realize, no, this is not a coincidence. All of a sudden, you mean for 13 years you've been in this forest, all of a sudden you see a golden deer. That's a coincidence. Then all of a sudden, this random Brahmana comes asking for water, and oh no, you come in here. That's a coincidence. This is moha in action. This is how it, this is how we are meant to see this. This is not some coincidence that is happening. The karma that caused this disillusionment to take place now creates this illusion and this moha. Moha, smriti, bhramshat, smriti, bhram. From moha also, all my memory goes away. Rama said, stay here. Lakshmana said, don't go past this line. Even that she has forgotten. So is Ravana to blame for her sorrow? No. Is the deer to blame, Marich to blame? No. Who should I blame? Myself only. My decisions, my choices. Why? Tayato vishayan pumsaha. I saw the object and my mind got carried away. Seeking objects of the world. And the world is like that. It will give, keep giving us. That's why we have such variety. I like black coffee, but somebody else likes South Indian filter coffee. I like khichdi, plain dal rice. Somebody else, I want rice, sambar, chutney. One person likes pizza, pasta. Another person likes dosa. Another person likes, what's that thing called? Tortillas. And we are all so attached to our likes, we don't see we are all actually liking the same thing. What's different from a flatbread and a roti and a tortilla? Nothing, same flour. Any difference? But my likes is so strong, I have created this niche thing for myself. It has to be this and only this. And that strength of karma took her exactly to Dashamukha Ravana, the one who is controlled by the 10 senses. 5 sense organs of knowledge, 5 sense organs of action. Dashamukha Ravana. And Mukha, because the face faces where? The head faces in which direction? Out. It doesn't face in. Extroverted to the very core. This is Ravana. This is why she ends up there. This is where karma takes us. And she goes there. No, the inevitable happens. Sorrow, misery, unhappiness. All of this happens. Why? Because I gave in to this karma. I gave in to this desire. Vishayan chintanam. This is the sankat. Constantly thinking about objects of the world. Why? I think it will make me happy. I think it will give me a sense of completion. But no amount of objects, limited objects, will ever give limitless happiness. It's a simple thing. We keep going, keep feeding ourselves, but it will never satisfy that void that is there. Because that void cannot be satisfied from the outside. There's no sense object in this world that can satisfy whatever feeling I have of need, want, emptiness. Nothing can come from the outside world. That is not to say we cannot enjoy the world. The laddu is sweet, the laddu is sweet. The food is perfectly spiced, you can enjoy it. Nothing is wrong with it. But I should not be dependent upon it. I should not be so dependent that if my food comes without salt, oh, I'm suffering. Or if it comes with too much salt also. But that is a health problem, actually. Too much salt at least is a health problem. Oh, I should not be so sad that, you know, if anyway, objects of this world cannot appease. It can give temporary enjoyment. But the thing is also, The ananda that I get from any object is the ananda of Brahman. If I see it and know it as that. But if I enjoy the object for the sake of the object, then that is where the problem is. The Upanishad tells in the Brihadaranyaka, not for the sake of the spouse do we love the spouse, but it is because that spouse is Brahman. It is Brahman there in the spouse. It is Brahman there in the child. It is Brahman there in everything. It is not for the sake of the individual that we love, but rather because it is Brahman there, present in all things. And how do we get over this sankat now? Bhagwan answers our prayers, yes? Agreed? How does he answer this prayer? He sends a guru. He sends a mahatma, a sant, a teacher, a guide. He sends. And who does he send? Hanumanji. First, the first thing he does is he gives the ring, number one. The ring immediately gives her some sense of comfort. This is Rama's ring. Surely something good is happening. Then what does he do? He gives her knowledge. He tells her, Rama is coming. He is there. You will not be here for much longer. You will get that mukti. Freedom will come. Liberation is right there. All you have to do is have a little bit of tatiksha. Have a little bit of Shraddha, have a little bit of forbearance, and a little bit of faith. You have that, surely it will come. There's a wonderful line Tulsidasji writes in his Vairagya Sandipani. Tulsidasji has many compositions. Famously, of course, we know Ramchandmanas, Hanuman Chalisa, Vinaya Patrika, Kavitavali, Gitavali, Dohavali. This Vairagya Sandipani is very brief. He writes there. Let's see if I get the tune. Anubhava sukha uta patikarata bhaya brahmadharai uthai aisi bani santaki jo urabedhaya. The words of a sant, of a saint, Mahatma, are such that the words itself gives bliss. His words of, this is why, you tell me if I'm, what I'm saying, you have also experienced. When I sit in satsang, there is total clarity. Everything makes sense. When the Acharya says, Tattvamasi, yes, Aham Brahmasmi, it is true. But the minute those doors open and I walk outside, all that clarity goes. Have we had that experience, yes or no?
Yes.
Because the power of the saint is such, they can lift us up to where they are. That is their power. That is their greatness. When we are in the company of great people, we cannot help but feel that, but be carried by that, inspired by that. So I like that lady who met Swami Vivekananda on the train. She didn't know him, nothing. But when you meet and when we are in the company of great beings, of saints, we cannot help but be moved by their grief. The challenge comes when we are no longer in their company. I'll share the story of one of our art swamins. Just after Pujya Gurudev's Mahasamadhi, many people may know, but when a Mahatma goes and the head of an organization, like all of this, and there was a little, people were like, oh, what to do? Gurudev is not there. And so there were many people who, they weren't sure how will the mission live. And the mission had put in place there were about four or five swamins who were each covering bits and pieces of what Gurudev did. One Gurudev did, they had four or five swamins to do, until eventually Pujya Guruji became head of the mission. And I was speaking to one swamin who was sharing stories, who was sharing of their experience when Gurudev took samadhi. And in the West, those of us born from here, and you know, we may not think about it, but in Bharat, the swamins and many of them, there was an extra sense of kind of grief there, because Gurudev was here, you know? And so the news came to them, and they had to wait for the body to come, and you know, so there was a little bit of extra grief was there. I'm not speaking for everybody, by the way. I can just share a little bit of what the swamin shared with me. I'm using swamin in a neuter sense, so you don't know if it's swamini or swami, okay? So the swamin was kind of in this state of mind, what to do? Didn't want to leave the mission, didn't want to leave the room, didn't want to do anything, you know? And felt, well, Gurudev is gone, now what? Fair enough. So Guruji, they went to Guruji and Guruji said, Gurudev spent his life teaching all of us, not so that at the drop of a pin, something happens, we also fall. He has taught us so that we can stand. Now you have an option. You can be like, you know, one of those little bushes that grow under the shade of a tree. They're there under the shade of the tree and they grow very nicely. When you go in rainforests, you see many of them. Because when the tree, the leaves capture water and it drips down and feeds all of these smaller plants. A whole biodiverse, you know, how the rainforest thrives like that. You can be like one of those. Or you can be like an oak tree. The oak tree does not depend upon anything else. Nature gives and the oak takes it and he sustains others. The choice is yours. This is the power of a saint. The power of a saint is like that tree whose leaves spread far and wide and drip that nectar that sustains all other small dependent life forms until they are able to sustain not just themselves, but also to others as well. Are you getting the point? This is the idea. This is what the guru does. He swallows up our ignorance, true. But he swallows up the ignorance through knowledge, through upliftment, through inspiration. He's not coming there with a flashlight to shine the light on us like that. He teaches us the knowledge, but beyond that, I have to put it into practice. So I have to seek out satsang. I have to seek out the company of others who also share similar thoughts. Not just sit and gossip every day, all day, 24 hours a day. Did you see what so-and-so did? Did you see what so-and-so wore? To what end? It's a little entertainment, sure. But to what end? What does it do? How does it serve me? Doesn't. We can have fun. We can have silly conversations. We can relax and have simple, relaxing conversations. Nobody is saying every minute of the day you have to sit and be talking Brahman, Brahman, Brahman. Nobody is saying that. But I should have dedicated time for satsang. Only through satsang does this ignorance of self go. Only through satsang does this idea of I need something from the outside world to keep me happy. Only through satsang. Think about it this way. An addict believes the drug will make me happy. Yes or no? This is the belief of the addict. They think, if I get this drug, I will be happy. And then what? Then the addict has to go to satsang. Of course, we call it Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. But what do you think is happening there? It's satsang only, actually. Because they're saying things to uplift each other. They are promoting good habits. They're promoting good thoughts. This is what is in every scenario in our lives where something negative is there. Satsang is always the answer. For many first-time criminals, particularly juvenile criminals, the best way to ensure that they don't keep going back into that life is to get them involved in some positive activity. Is it not a fact? When a child is too cannot concentrate, then we find something that interests them that is positive to keep their mind focused. Is it not so? So wherever the problem is distraction and dependence on happiness from the outside world, the solution is always going to be satsang. Spiritually speaking, of course, satsang means in this way. But in life in general, in our secular lives, satsang can take place in many different ways. How we choose to see it. It is meant to uplift. It is meant to take away, change the pattern of our thinking from a negative to a positive, from a destructive to a productive. Is this not what we do? Satsang is always the answer. Right. So now, what did we see today? Firstly, we saw how that third cause of trouble is this Deha Abhimana. Deha. First one we saw yesterday was Agnana, Avidya. Second one was? Sandhya, we came to listen to you talk, not for us to talk. Second one was? Karma Prarabdha. Third one is Deha Vimana. Deha Vimana. Fourth one, Vishayan Chintanam. Vishayan Chintanam. If you get a Pooja Swamiji's Sankat Mochan book, I think we have maybe one or two copies here, but we can order. Yeah. Swamiji also gives these sanghats in this way as well. Meaning he gives these same identifying each verse the different sanghat that is arising, the different cause of suffering that is arising. Alright. So Deha Abhimana, I have to shift this identity from I am this body. And if I feel I am this body, then let that action have a divine purpose. Let this body become an instrument of divine will, right? And I can develop that sense of witness consciousness. Learn to observe the body. Learn to observe, oh, this body, you know, now the body wants this, now the body wants that. Learn to observe it and don't engage. In meditation also, when we meditate, we learn to observe the thoughts. Just watch it. Same way we can observe the body. It's a very important sadhana to be practiced. Then we saw Vishayan Chintanam. All this brooding over sense objects. This now starts to where we need satsang in our lives. To start turning the mind from an extroverted mind towards a more introverted mind. Where my dependence was on external objects for my happiness, now I am happy by myself. I am alone, but never lonely. So, we'll see more on this Hanuman Ashtakam tomorrow.
आरती की जय हनुमान लला की दुष्ट दलन रघुनाथ कला की जाके बल से गिरिवर कापे रोग दोष जाके निकट न जागे अंजनी पुत्र महाबलदाई संतन के प्रभु सदा सहाय आर हनुमान लागी दुष्ट दलन रघुनाथ कलागी लंका देवी रघुनाथ बधाए लंका जारी सिया सुधि लाए लंका सुकुट समुद्र सिखाए जात पवन सुत पार न लाए लंका जारी असुर संहारे सिया राम जी के काज सवारे आरती की जय हनुमान लला की दुष्ट दलन रघुनाथ कलागी लक्ष्मण मूर्छित पड़े सकारे आनी सजीवन प्राण उबारे पैती पाती चमकारे अहिरावन की पूजा उकारे भय पूजा सुर दल मारे दाहिने भुज तन जन तारे आरती की जय हनुमान लला की दुष्ट नर नाथ कला की सुर नर मुनि आरती उतारे जय 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 हनुमान उचारे कंचन थाल कपूर आरती करत अंजना माई जो हनुमान जी की आसी परम पर पावे आरती की जय हनुमान लला की दुष्ट दलन रघुनाथ कला की आरती की जय हनुमान लला की दुष्ट दलन रघुनाथ कला की श्री पवन पुत्र हनुमान की जय सियावर रामचंद्र की जय शत्रुनाथ महाराज की जय।